Japan 2.0.
Tell me when, bomb on the go.
You see me on your television, you hear me on your radio. You like it where your eyes,
but tell me when, bomb on the go.
Japan 2.0.
Tell me when, bomb on the go.
Two point.
Hello and welcome to Japan 2.0. This is your host, David, along with
Matt. And today we have a special guest, returning special guest.
You're our first returning special guest.
Thank you.
I don't know, does that make you more special or less special?
Special K.
Special K. All right. Special K, what are you doing here?
I was drawn by the ghetto nature of this area, so I wanted to compare it to what's going on in L.A.
Yeah, well, that's where we are right now. We're talking about a specific neighborhood in Osaka. The name of the neighborhood is the Nishinari. Mm. And some other names it might go by is...
A smaller portion of that area that we're interested in is called Hanazonocho.
Yes.
And then there's another concentrated area of kind of... worst of the worst, which would
Kamagasaki, and the official name, which hasn't adopted by the locals, is Airin Chiku.
Yeah. So from my understanding, the government has come in and tried to clean up the area, both in image and I guess physically, although it doesn't really look like it. So they're trying to rid it of this negative image and give it a new name, but people refuse to call it that. I think on maps it'll still say that on the map.
Yes.
But you don't hear anyone really refer to it that way.
So I have a question for you guys, because can I say your name?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is Albert, our returning guest.
Hello.
And you and David have been interested in this neighborhood. And
yes.
I think if you guys explain why you're so interested, it'll kind of paint a picture for our listeners.
So I think first we should talk about our experience. I think none of us came there out of interest. We weren't like, well, hey, I want to go see, what the worst area of Japan is like.
Oh, no, I did.
We did. But that was your first experience coming here? You came here for that reason?
I always wanted to come, but my first experience coming here was totally purely by accident. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is all of us
came
first by accident, but we've come back out of interest, I think.
Yes. Yeah,
From what we saw. So what was your... accident?
My accident was there are two Hanazonos in Osaka, and I did not know that there were two in the same city, the towns, the machis. And so I was supposed to meet my cousin and her daughter at Hanazono, what I thought was the Hanazono in central Osaka. But it turned out that I'd missed it by, it was in the northern region, and I ended up in a Hanazono where I had no idea where she was, and everything around me was as ghetto as it gets, with bottles breaking in the street, a drunk guy yelling at this woman for bumping into her, and just the feeling of, I was just very ill at ease. I was with my young daughter at the time, and we were not expecting it. We didn't know where my cousin was, and it wasn't until later that I figured out that I was totally in the wrong Hanazonocho, and that the Hanazonocho I was in what's considered one of the poorer areas of Osaka.
From my understanding, it's labeled as the most dangerous neighborhood in all of Japan, not just Osaka, in terms of crime rates.
Right, that's true.
Just the poverty level. More than anything out in Tokyo or Nagoya or any of the other big cities.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think that's interesting to us, that we've seen the places where people are worse off in all of this country, but I haven't really been many places, but to see that side,
it's
pretty interesting.
Yeah.
How about you, Matt? What was your first experience here?
Well, I moved here, actually. I lived in Hanazonocho for maybe a couple of months,
What it was? I can't remember. Did I tell you?
So, yeah, you had an interest already in the neighborhood. I don't know if you'd already visited here.
I've been, yeah, but I didn't know if you told me the name, and I was like, oh, you're in for a crazy time.
After you signed the lease.
That's kind of how the conversation went.
Okay.
So I... I was talking to this this woman who had a shared housing, and her shared housing was in Hanazon Ocho. Now there's two sides to Hanazon Ocho. There's one on the west side of the tracks, the subway station, and the side on the east side of the subway station. And the west side is definitely much nicer. It's more old. It's actually where we are right now.
Yeah.
And
oh, you're still in Hanazon Ocho.
Yeah, we're
right now in this
right
park.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's Hanazon Ocho.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
it's in me.
Yeah, yeah. You're a part of it. Yeah, so I lived in shared housing. My wife and I lived there for while we were transitioning into our the apartment we live in now. So yeah, I got to have a taste of this neighborhood, and I didn't really realize. Like, once again, Japan has such a
clean image.
Image of being, yeah, clean and safe and nice, and not a lot of like rundown stuff. Mm. And so it was a bit of a surprise when we moved here and we were walking on the east side of the tracks, and things got a little bit darker, to say the least.
In case you're a new listener, we all come from, not necessarily like we lived in these areas, but we've all flirted with or been close with some of the rougher neighborhoods of the U.S.
Yes.
I grew up an hour outside of Detroit, and we'd go down to Detroit to go see concerts and things like that. You guys had times in your life where you're in L.A.
Oh, yeah. Albert, I was working in South Central,
I've spent a lot of time in South Central as well.
That's right, and your dad was really close by. Yeah.
So we're not all, like, from the suburbs or anything. Like, we've seen rougher places, and, yeah, on the whole, this definitely doesn't compare, you know, to that. I wouldn't ever just be like, hey, I want to take a joy walk and just kind of see what's going on in, you know, downtown Detroit.
Right.
Personally, that's not something that would be of interest to me, because it would be so dangerous that it's just not worth it. I don't know if you feel the same way about LA. I mean, you chose to work there.
I definitely wanted to work there. From about fifth grade, we moved from a middle class area to a kind of a more ritzy area of LA, and I basically overloaded on rich people, and I grew to dislike them and the whole culture. But so I purposely, when I signed up for to teach in Los Angeles Unified School District, I specifically asked to be put in a South Central school. So I wanted to see what was going on the other side and try to be helpful if I could.
So I'll quickly say my first time out here, but while you're on that note, I think it is maybe, at least for Albert and I'm not sure about Matt, you can chime in, but part of the reason I think why we like to come here is just that you don't get this, exactly what you said about being surrounded by wealth. Sometimes you just want to be more humbled, you know, and see another side of something. And in Japan, you don't get that normally. I got it all the time in Michigan, no problem. I didn't have to try. I was very humbled and felt lucky for what I have, because I was constantly seeing people who were not doing great.
Yeah.
But out where we live in Kobe, you know, I don't ever see that. Albert and I have checked out the rougher areas of Kobe, and they're not even on any kind of radar compared to what you see out here in Osaka.
Yeah.
Because I had come here a long time ago, whenever Albert and I would go check out the rough area of Kobe, it's kind of a joke, you know?
I also heard the rough part of Kobe from my wife, who grew up in the rough part of Kobe, that a lot of it got wiped out in the 1995 earthquake. It either got smashed or burned down during that disaster.
It's kind of funny, though, how our reputation sticks with an area, because people today still talk about that area. It's called
Niigata. Yeah.
Like it's bad, and my students will tell me don't go there.
They don't want to walk around there.
So there is this weird dichotomy of, yeah, I guess it's gone, but people still think it's dangerous.
Right.
Well, I guess ideology.
It's also, you know, like your gauge, you know. I mean, like, if you lived in a place that's so safe like Japan, I mean, your whole life, neighborhoods that are a little rougher are going to seem way rougher than it is if you're from, like, Los Angeles and you live in, if you live in, like, Burbank or something, and then you come down to Crenshaw or something, you know. Like, I mean, that's a big difference, you know. For people around here, I imagine places like Hanazon Ocho are, like, unlike anything they usually see. Like you said, you don't see that a lot.
I must give them, the willies or something.
And even, like, living here, I think now that we've lived there for a long time, coming here is kind of like, whoa, because I'm so far removed from it. I haven't been to Detroit in over 10 years, you know, downtown.
Oh, that long. Okay.
When I first came out here about 7 or 8 years ago on vacation, yeah, it was, again, by accident. I wasn't coming here to exploit it in any way.
I stayed here,
and I did couch surfing, so everything's for free, so the price was no indicator. You know, it wasn't cheaper than other places. but the guy told me right away, like, oh, hey, just so you know, like, my place is kind of unique. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, it's like a treehouse.
Oh,
and I didn't quite know what that meant. But yeah, it was pretty much like a shanty built up in trees. And then at night, about 1 a.m., he's like, oh, I got to go out and do my job. And I was like, what's your job? And he's like, oh, I go out and help feed the homeless. Like, do you want to come?
1 in the morning?
Yeah.
Because
they sleep during the day, as you saw.
Oh,
a lot of them.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
So they're up at night. You go around and just check for, like, bed sores and feed them and stuff. So I went out and saw that. This is my second time in Japan as a tourist, you know? So maybe it's part of the reason I had a strong attachment to Osaka. Was I got to see that straight away. I got to feel like I knew the real Osaka right from the get-go. What did you see?
I thought I saw the ring that Gollum had dropped.
Okay.
But it was just a nut without a bolt.
A shiny nut. Oh, that kind of nut. I thought you meant like a acorn.
Yeah, I was going, am I seeing a ring over there that someone dropped in the park? But nah.
So anyway.
Not in Nishinomiya. Not in Hanazono-cho.
We had a pretty fun night that night, and we didn't get a lot of sleep, hanging out all night.
Cool.
Feeding people. And then I woke up the next morning a bit lost. I couldn't find my way to the station. And yeah, it was pretty rough. I guess at nighttime, the darkness covered things up a bit. So I woke up in the morning and saw everyone out. And I was carrying luggage around, and it was hot. I was pretty scared. I think it's the only time I've ever been scared.
Was it summer or...?
It was, I don't remember, but I remember being hot.
Okay.
And I was pretty nervous about finding the station. I was getting lots of weird looks and people just shouting things at you. Normally, they just want to do English practice, but I didn't really want to find out if that's what they were looking at here,
right,
you know?
Right, which it was.
Yeah. So, it took a lot, I think, to make me feel a little nervous, you know, in Japan.
Yeah. No, I saw it today.
I've felt the same way. I mean, when I was living here, I'd come home at night sometimes, and when I first came, I thought, well, I'd explore the area a little bit more. And I remember one night I was walking up one of the streets that actually we were on, and I came across this group of guys, and I haven't seen this since I've been in the States, where there's just like a bunch of guys sitting on like a couch in front of like an apartment building or a house or
how old were they about? Or
they were probably in their 50s or
okay, like older guys.
Yeah, older guys, but not, you know,
looking
not,
dangerous
not
still.
Old enough, not old enough to be
docile
looking, you know. So and they were all giving me real dirty looks.
Oh boy.
And that was the first time I ever felt like uncomfortable in any neighborhood in Japan, like where I felt like this is probably not a place I should be at this time of the day, you know.
Yeah.
And I have seen some other shady things go down in the in the neighborhood. I've seen a guy with missing a finger, which is an indication that he's probably Yakuza.
Well, we were doing a little bit of research before the show while you're on that topic, and this was one of the most active areas for that. I forget what the number was. So there were like 50 families here at one time.
Within Osaka,
And they're
too specific to this area, though. Yeah,
and they banned like the public showing of it, like having the family name out.
Okay.
In all of Japan recently.
Yeah.
But in this area, they still...
Yeah, they're really cracking down on it now.
But apparently this is one of the only areas where the headquarters still hang their name proudly.
Okay.
And they haven't been... I guess we were reading it.
Oh, yeah.
It shows how powerful that they are, is that the police haven't stopped that, where everywhere else has been stopped. But in this area, they have such a presence.
It could be the one that I think you're referring to is Sakaume-gumi. And there's two in this, in the most hardcore part of Nishinari, and the other is Azuma-gumi. But I heard the Sakaume-gumi, they weren't getting... picked on by the police because they weren't dealing with drugs. They were just doing the, the old-fashioned, just gambling type of way of making money.
Hostess.
So hitting the gambling joints and all that, or running the gambling joints. So, they weren't dealing with the more, modern taboo.
Gotcha.
I didn't see it.
Yeah. But if you just, like, it's not so prevalent. I've never seen it, and I've been here 3 or 4 times now. You've never seen it.
I haven't seen. Yeah, I was looking around for tattoos today, but no, nothing. Mm. Yeah.
I think the most I've seen has been around yeah, this neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay.
But again, I think you have a different experience than us. You lived here for 2 months or so, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's different from us just wanting to come for an hour or two and check it out, like being forced to be here and come home here late at night and stuff. It must be a different experience.
Yeah. One night, our landlady asked us if we wanted to go drinking out in Hanazono.
That's cool.
So we got to go out at
night.
Nice
landlady.
Well, yeah, it was cool. And then we ate the... from one of the, there's a lot of stalls and a lot of bars where it's just like street food, and we were eating some of the street food, and we did see some cars drive by with like tinted windows, some really nice cars. That was pretty scary, but there, I mean, to say that that's all Hanazono-cho is like, you know, kind of simplifying it, because really there's a lot of character here. I mean, there's definitely in the poverty and stuff there, I don't know, there's like a lot of interesting people. And maybe in some ways it's kind of sad, but they kind of become celebrities, especially if you live here.
You see them on the regular, and they stand out for certain strong physical characteristics.
Right.
I mean, I saw some today, like, I would remember if I saw them a month or two from now, again, just based on dudes wearing like short, really, really short shorts, or had like a Barbie... Barbie like purse around his neck as if it was a necklace.
Or what about the guy that had the training wheel?
One single training wheel only on one side on his bike.
It's his weak side.
Yeah. It makes you feel like it was like ripped off, right? I mean
But I mean, you start to see like the regulars and stuff. I mean, there's definitely that sense of a community and everybody seems to know everybody. There's a guy that we call Hip Hop Guy. My wife and I call Hip Hop Guy. That we've seen him around town. I used to see him at the McDonald's by Hanazono-cho Station. And he wears all these... he's an older gentleman. He's probably in his, I would say, almost 80s.
If you haven't noticed, this is a theme in the area. If you're under the age of 50, I think you're feeling pretty young.
Yeah. It's definitely an older town. But this guy wears hip hop clothes from top to bottom. He has pierced ears with big, like, shiny diamonds.
And he's 80,
And all of his hip-hop clothes are, like, it's, like, leopard skin and zebra print and stuff like that.
Dude over there has leopard skin shorts, I think. Yeah.
I suppose so, yeah. But, I don't know. There's just, like, a lot of characters like that.
Yeah.
And it seems like everybody talks to the guy and seems to know him. And when he talked to me, he knew a little bit of English.
I think the neighborhood has such strong character. And there's a lot of things that come from this neighborhood that are like Osaka wears with pride. But at least in English or for foreigners, it doesn't get labeled as Nishinari, but it actually is from Nishinari. And one of those examples is Super Tamade, the grocery store chain.
Mm-hmm.
When I used to come out here again, not here specifically, but just Osaka, I knew it as like the Osaka grocery store chain. And our buddy Akagai out in Tokyo really loves the place and thinks it's awesome and labels it as like an only Osaka grocery store.
Cool.
But the fact is that there's a stop just 2 stops away from here called Tamade, and it comes from there, and it's just, it looks like a pachinko parlor grocery store, you know?
Oh, it's not super, it's just Tamade.
The area where it comes from is just called Tamade.
Oh,
the grocery store is called Super Tamade.
Okay.
Pretty famous rapping grandma group from the area, and they film some of their music videos in that shop, and everyone knows that rapping grandma group. They've gone mainstream in their pop, and they're from here too.
In the Shingo video,
It might be in that.
I saw that.
Yeah,
I think
he's in a Super Tamade at some point in the Shingo video.
But again, all those things are, they're almost like caricatures, or they seem like they're from like an anime or a manga or something. They're very vibrant, big colors, loud, brash in your face, and I think those are very representative of this neighborhood.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I think that Super Tamade is, though, a bit of, I mean, yes, it does come from the neighborhood, but it does stand out particularly because the actual place is kind of tore up. I mean, it's not like it's a place that has a lot of flashing lights and stuff. Do you feel like
it has so many flashing lights? It has a everyone has a firework on top of it, like a electronic.
Oh, no, Super Tamade does.
Oh, but actual Tamade? Oh,
actual Hanamocho. I feel like it's pretty dilapidated and old.
Right, yeah.
Oh, for sure. But I think Shinsekai is technically part of Mishinari too, or it's like on the edge of it. And that's a pretty flash area. But its flash isn't gaudy. It's gaudy. It's like way overdone, old style. Pachinko, if you know pachinko parlors, it's like the embodiment of that, right?
Well, that supermarket looks like a pachinko parlor.
Right. But yeah, no. I don't know if flashy is the right word. But
yeah, that gaudiness. I think that that's that.
Making up for what they don't have in other ways, perhaps, you know?
Yeah.
I remember the first time we came to Hanazono-cho on purpose, you had pointed out a dude with, he either had no shirt or he was wearing a wife beater, and you were saying you'd never see that in any other part of Japan. Where, I mean, he's standing out in the street in that wear.
Just today we
very
saw
casually.
A guy with no shirt on, walking with a big old beer belly.
It reminded me a lot of like China or Hong Kong, just the couple of chubbier dudes with guts hanging out. A lot of wife beaters, a lot of like pajamas out in the street, you know? Yeah. A lot of people who look very unhealthy.
Yeah.
Or close to death.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's some areas that are of particular note. Should we get into some of those?
Yeah, maybe. Let's do our break.
Okay.
We're at a mosquito park right now. Yes. We're all. I wish you could see us. We're all like scratching.
Thank
and looks
God
like we're
dancing. Jeans on today.
Looks like we're dancing.
I'm happy until
mosquitoes
now.
Mosquitoes right now.
Well, I'm not gonna lie. Like being in a area where this is like the highest tuberculosis rate. And then getting mosquito bites from other people. I don't know if that's contagious or not, but it's on my mind.
After we find some safety, we'll be back with more about Hanazono-cho.
Yeah. So enjoy some of the local music that we'll be playing for you now, and get looking forward to our special segment.
Hona. Uchima hyo. Pam, pam. Moshitotse. Pam, pam. Yo de Sando Pam 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 DJ Fox Shin Go Nishinari Up Osaka Up Osaka Up Dare ga nan to yo to Osaka Up Osaka Up Osaka Up Jimoto Love Yaro Osaka Up Kanku Tochak Mic Check 1-2 Choshi wa Ayo Black in the Yellow Yatto Shigoto Benkyo Atta kara yutte mo e Ano Party Party
Alright, and we are back. We left you off in Hanazono-cho, and now we're back in Umeda. We're getting eaten alive by mosquitoes, so we had to change location, and we couldn't be in a more opposite place now. We're on top of a huge skyscraper, I don't know, tall
mega slash
urban, rich area. Anyway, this segment is going to be a good one for you. We came up with it on the way over here as we saw something, and we knew we had a good story to tell. So, Matt, why don't you introduce this and pose your question?
Yeah, we're going to categorize this as Japan 2.0 myths. And the myth is that you could never win at the vending machine. And I have to explain why it's a game. So a lot of vending machines have a, it's almost like a slot machine where they're trying to get 777, the number 777. And they have a little digital game that turns when you buy a drink. And I've bought a lot of soft drinks. I buy a lot of coffee from vending machines. And I have a lot of machines near my home and my work that have these games.
I never even knew there was a game, to be honest. I mean, I played a video game one time when I was in middle school, Shenmue, and you win a game from the vending machine there. So I knew it existed, but it's so unapparent. Like, show them what is the game. Because for me, I saw it today, but I was like, oh, that's a game. I just thought it was like a random thing happening.
Yeah, like, I mean, the closest thing I could compare it to is a slot machine.
Yes, yeah.
And, I mean, if anybody has seen a slot machine, you know that you pull the lever, and then the numbers spin.
Yeah.
And then they stop.
So this is the number where you put your money in. It'll magically change into like a rolling. That's like a thing that moves around.
LEDs.
It's just a digital. Yeah. It's a digital. But it's not like a spinning.
It's a very subtle change from like the 100 that was there from the money. It just starts moving around in a circle. And to me, I was it's like thinking or it's processing.
Circles.
I didn't know it was a game. So.
Yeah, so I've played this a bunch of times, and I've never won. But luckily, we have Albert here today, and he says he's a winner. He's been a big winner. So
in more ways than one.
Can you please share with us what happened?
The first time it happened, I was just a new JET program member, and I was living in Matsuyama in Ehime Prefecture, and I used one of the slot machines and. They used to, I don't know if they still have it, but there used to be a noise as it's rotating. So
yeah,
it's like
the one
digital,
I play has the noise. Yeah.
What does it sound like? Again, like, I've never noticed.
Yeah, like something's rotating.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it stopped, and I can't remember exactly if it allowed me to buy another drink or if my money came out, but I'm assuming my money came out because I think I wouldn't have noticed it otherwise. I wouldn't have thought to press the button again to get a second drink. So I believe my money came out, and I thought, you know, I just messed up, but the drink came out too, and that's when I realized I actually had won a drink, and then it happened one or two more times, but in the last 10 years since I've been in Kobe, I have not won ever again, so I think they were more generous, it was closer to the...
economic boom,
yeah,
the bubble?
The bubble period, so that's what I'm thinking happened, yeah.
Huh. Was that myth busted or myth confirmed?
I think it's myth busted because I thought that you... I figured like I must be... I bought so many drinks since I moved here that I can't imagine not winning something, you know? And I guess your odds aren't very good, but...
While you're on that note, when you go to the convenience store, you can win something if you spend over $10 a lot of times. There'll be a promotion where you stick your hand in this box and you pull out a ticket. There's usually an alcohol box and a non-alcohol box, if you're, like, underage or something. And I've had really good luck at those. Also, on your receipt sometimes, you'll just get a coupon. And it happens to me a lot on my lunch break at work where they'll be like, hey, you want a beer? And they go grab it, but I have to go back to work, you know? And I always feel really awkward about rolling into work with the beer in the bag.
Did that happen just
recently? Yeah, I was showing you on Friday. It happened to me on Friday.
I didn't understand what you were saying about like, how you got the beer.
Here's the second half of the story.
Okay.
I'm not an alcoholic. I want it. It's happened to me maybe last month, too. So that I get that one a lot. But so I guess maybe that's if you're looking to win some free drinks.
That's cool.
That's the place to go, convenience store.
I've been unlucky. But, I mean, I guess it's just my luck. It's the Matt luck.
Do you have the card, the point card? I feel like only give it to point card people, maybe.
I have
the
point card for Family Mart.
Well, okay. I was able to do it like when we went skateboarding and we stopped at a konbini. And I had to reach in and actually I pulled out, they said you could pull out two tickets or something and both were winners. So it was just like, I got two drinks.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was
cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Well,
that was
myth busted.
Myth busted.
Right? You can win.
At vending machines.
It's just rare.
All right. After this short break, we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little more about Hanazono Ocho. See you on the other side. And we're back.
Yes, we are. And
before we left... I think we were talking about like some of the more important landmarks in Hanazono Ocho.
Yeah.
So should we get into like some of the more famous locations?
Yeah, for sure. I don't know if it's going to start too high, but kind of the peak of it feeling dangerous or you seeing the poverty is at it's called the Nishinare Police Station. And it has huge gates and, you know, you see a lot of koban around stations and they look quite friendly, and some of them are even have like a cutesy vibe. I've seen ones that have like French Tudor designs, you know. And it's open, like accommodating. Like, please come in and talk to us and ask for directions or anything.
The desk is totally exposed by windows.
That's right. And this is the complete opposite of that. There's giant barred gates on the outside, and definitely it's not inviting at all.
I don't
think you could go in if you wanted to.
Zombie proof.
And I always see very active cars and ambulance going in and out of there too. And then as you go to the backside of the station, there's a giant dirt lot full of like blue tarp, and people, a lot of homeless guys are just camped out there. It reminds me of a scene of a John Carpenter movie called They Live. And I just think the juxtaposition of the police station
and the shanty
with
town.
The shantytown literally on the same ground, it's really weird. And
yeah,
I don't get it. I don't know if it was like a standoff that happened and they refused to leave or something, or maybe I'm looking into it too much, but I feel like there's got to be more to it. It can't just be coincidence.
Yeah, I mean, it is surprising that it's right. It's basically connected to the police station. I mean, it's right up against it, which you wouldn't see. I don't think you would see that anywhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, in L.A., we have the L.A. prison, the downtown L.A.,
right.
And it's a big building that kind of looks similar, just a gray, big building with, like, barred windows and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And but you don't see shanties around that.
No.
Well, I feel like back home they want to get as far away because doing public drinking, just doing things that generally aren't allowed, right? And the police are seen as the enemy.
They
so you'd want to just get as far away from them as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, again, why. I wish I knew. I wish I could ask someone.
Right. I mean, maybe it's safety. Maybe it's just being so close to the police station if something goes down.
Maybe.
Because Hanno Zonocho has been known to have some issues.
Yeah.
And something...
get beaten up or hurt by, like... The young people or the young rebels or whatever.
Have you heard that?
I've heard about
really?
It. And yeah, well, it was focused on in one of the movies. The one anime, too.
Tokyo Godfathers.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Tokyo Godfathers
has a scene where there's a day, it's a holiday, and some people call it Demon Day or like Devil Night or something like that. It's kind of around New Year's, I believe.
Okay.
And it's when...
Sounds like the equivalent of Devil's Night before Halloween in the States.
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, what basically, in my neighborhood, it basically means just like all the teenagers are out and they're just drinking at like the convenience stores and stuff. We're near a temple, and I think that brings out a lot of people, you know? But... and there's police. We get police on, like, corners and stuff.
Whoa.
But I've heard during those times in certain urban areas, you know, like, punk kids, like, wannabe gangster teenagers will go around with, like, sticks and beat homeless people if they find them, you know?
Yeah, I read it in the paper, too, a guy getting either seriously injured or killed.
Yeah, Tokyo Godfathers has a scene that's very iconic.
Reminds me of Clockwork Orange. Whoa, you're getting attacked.
This is a free snack. It's an acorn.
Acorn fell from a tree. I mean, just when you walk around the area, right? Around the heart of the area, which for me is around that police station, you see a lot of passed out dudes on the street, right?
Yeah.
Like, no shoes, just, you turn a corner and you see, like, feet sticking out on the ground, skin, and passed out, and I wonder what they're on, because they're definitely on something. Most likely it's probably just alcohol,
I think.
But I always wonder if it's more, you know?
They
seem really knocked out sometimes.
Yeah.
Are there any other major landmarks for you guys?
I think there's the poster, Shingo, the rapper, is like worth mentioning. So there's a giant billboard in the middle of town that has Shingo, the rapper, Osaka rapper.
Yeah, Shingo Nishinari, named after the neighborhood.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a big picture of him, and the message is trying to uplift the people of Hanno Zonocho.
You might have said Makenai, like don't lose, or like don't give up.
That's pretty
so never give up.
Fascinating. And we were there a year ago last, maybe a year and a half ago, and it was still there.
It was there, yeah.
And
I think he's paying for it. It's such a huge ad.
It's
two corners of the building.
Massive poster with just his face, a close-up of his face, just looking down on the people, you know? And he's a success story from that neighborhood, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a really big icon there. And a lot of the dudes you see there, the younger guys, are totally, like, embodying him in style and fashion. And it's kind of cool just to see him putting that up there, you know.
I'm kind of surprised though by seeing that poster. This is the first time I've seen that poster, and I thought he would have he has a look to him, you know. He wears a lot of backwards hats,
and
he
was very
stripped
down, right?
In this one, he was kind of wearing like a button up shirt, and it looked very like clean in it. And I wonder,
like, an ID photo or something, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Very somber,
neutral, yeah.
So I think it, that also adds to the seriousness of the message, you know. I think that was a very calculated choice.
Yeah, and that's just right around the corner from that police station area too, right?
Yeah, yeah. Probably a block away.
Yeah, there's a lot of messages like that there. I mean, if you can read Japanese, I think you'll notice right away. I remember Albert and I last time we came up out of the station, and we were seeing warnings in the station to watch your bags and your basket of your bicycle.
Right, right.
Once big we don't see yellow sign. And I didn't know what it said, but I could tell it was some kind of warning or urgent message. We saw the Little Red Riding Hood illusion.
Mm-hmm. With the big bad wolf behind her.
A little girl basically saying, like, watch out behind you when you're around
she
here.
Had, she had earphones, right?
Yeah.
But so don't listen to podcasts when you're going through.
Don't listen to Japan 2.0.
Yeah,
turn it off. But I thought that was kind of the very Japanese way of doing it, is making it cute, having this pop culture children's reference, you know. And but you could definitely tell. I mean, when Albert translated it for us, it was exactly what we thought based off the image.
Yes, yeah.
There's an area, a landmark you want to talk about, I know.
Tobita Shinchi?
Yes.
Yeah, I actually didn't know about it until you did your research on Nishinari and Kamagasaki, it's the largest red light district in Osaka, and it's like no other. It's like going into a neo geisha world with rows of very neat buildings,
like,
with all uniform signs, white, black and white.
They have traditional tiling on them.
Yes.
I wouldn't call them traditional houses because they're like made of a modern concrete,
but
the tiling has got a traditional vibe.
Style, like the shirokabe, white plaster wall.
That's right. And each shop sign is very uniform. It's a small block with like the name of it.
Usually
it's
one or two kanji at the most.
Very small. It's square. And it's, you know, everyone looks the same. It's
exactly.
Like they're not allowed to deviate.
Oh, yeah, and it's one of the few places in Japan where the blocks are actually so uniform. It looks like something back home where it's not the typical tangled...
like a grid.
The grid going up to the castle or something, yeah.
What I remember, before you get into it really, was like we were walking around the area all day. It was kind of towards the end of the day, and it's a pretty grimy area. We haven't really talked about the smell, but... smell of urine and stale alcohol is strong in the air. You get stronger whiffs on some corners than others, but it's prevalent. And all of a sudden, as a break from that, we smelt something very sweet in the air. And I remember us being like, huh, what is that? And we just kind of followed that smell.
Right,
and it was getting stronger and stronger. And then it got to like, oh, this is like full on. Like, what is this?
Uh-huh.
And we turned the corner. I remember seeing lots of salarymen, big groups of guys coming. And we turn this corner
around,
and we're like, oh, I think I know what this is, you know?
Right.
And then...
And each first story section of it is wide open, and it's like looking into someone's living room.
Yeah.
And there's an old, the madame, I guess, and then the young, beautiful woman in front, and she's either in a kimono, Each shop seemed to have a different theme, and they were all like, they had some kind of words they were using to call people, like, come on in, oni-san or something like that, young brother or older brother, come on in, or but they were calling out to the people as they were walking by, but it had a weird, almost storybook-like feel to it, something just unreal. Yeah, like nothing I've ever seen in Japan.
So like in Kobe, in Sanamiya, there is an area at night when you walk down and people are dressed in strange costumes, like Dragon Ball costumes to nurses and like girls wearing like police officer uniforms, you know? But as a foreigner, they never talk to you.
If
you look like a foreigner, at least.
Okay, I didn't know that. Okay.
And when I'm with you, because you're Japanese-American, I noticed for the first time ever, they're talking to us.
Yeah. I didn't know
that. I thought it was, in this area, I think at least two of them spoke English.
Yes,
towards
they
us
were calling
in English
towards us as we were walking.
And I remember thinking, that's kind of weird. Like, in other countries, that's not that surprising, but in Japan, generally, if you're a foreigner... people aren't going to go out of their way to get your business, especially something shady or
like
borderline illegal,
like
or whatever.
Main cafes and stuff.
Right,
they won't give you
exactly.
Pamphlets and stuff.
Yeah, I think they know that it's weird for you know, and it's a cultural thing, perhaps.
Okay.
So that was weird.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Do you remember other things we were really shocked? Like, we've seen other red light districts in the world. We've seen other red light districts in Japan. And generally, for me, the feeling is quite negative walking through there. Like, I feel bad for them or some kind of pity or the conditions are rough. I remember we left there both thinking like, oh, that seemed kind of pleasant. Like,
yeah, they didn't have that dark, depressing feel to it. It felt very clean. It felt almost like walking in like Disneyland. Everything was just
it really did
manicured and perfect.
And I don't know if it was, again, coming from where we had just come. It was such a contrast. And it was something that stuck with me for like a
definitely contrast from Hanazono-chi.
Yeah, from Hanazono-chi Ishinari.
But
it stuck with us for a long time. And we kept talking about it like, man, that was weird, right? And I was looking up online even to see its reputation. And it's very well known in all of Japan, not just Osaka.
Oh, it is. Okay.
And that like apparently the mayor
used
to go there. And that's why it's allowed to be open still, because he's a fan of the place.
In I was looking at Wikipedia to remind me of the area. And they said that the mayor was part of the Tobita Shincho Restaurant Association, and they had restaurant in quotes as if it was like haha
or something like that.
So I don't know what that, but in Google Maps there is a restaurant association for that area. So I have no idea where the restaurants were hiding, but they're somewhere there.
So I think that was fascinating. I don't know if you know much about the Osaka mayor, but he's kind of like the Donald Trump of Japan. Super conservative and racist, and he wanted to fire every government employee who has a tattoo, things like that. Like, actually fire them, not just a threat.
I did hear, though, that he was, unlike Donald Trump, he did fight against the Koreans being totally harassed and having the Uyoku, the right-wing, ultra-right-wing, demonstrate and yell out at them. So he was definitely against hate language. So that he has that going for him. Yeah, gotcha. But I have heard about his other shady sides.
The wild character.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's definitely a fascinating place that normally I wouldn't be interested in at all, you know. But
no,
this one was very unique.
I agree.
Yeah.
Worth seeing if you're in the area. You're not gonna experience the Nishinari part of.
We've heard
that area.
I've read that if you're a girl, you shouldn't go there. That they'll yell at you for like taking away business. Like guys will feel awkward if other just random girls are around. And I don't have it something we've hit on yet. That in Nishinari in general, not a lot of girls.
That's true. You're right. It's a guy people. World. Yeah.
Guys if you're under 50, it's rare. If you're a girl in general, it's rare. If you're a girl under 50, it's incredibly rare. The only ones we saw today through our walk, we spent about an hour there, 2 hours there.
Right.
Was like a group of girls from a school in uniform. And they were definitely there on a trip. I feel like they were doing like service work there. There's a teacher type with them, leading them on it. It's incredibly rare.
I think we should mention the riots.
Because I feel like that's
a fascinating part about the Nishinari area.
Yeah. They're in their 20s now, right?
Yeah. I think the 23rd one happened
so they
in
number,
2008.
Number the riots.
Yes. Yeah.
First one was 1961, I think. Like, black and white footage of it. Yeah.
And again, incredibly rare for Japan, violent riots, right?
Violent. But
what they call protests here in general are very funny to me because I've seen protests about the, Article 9?
Changing the Constitution to make it more war
which should have been more controversial than it was, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I saw what people were calling, like, kind of violent rallies in Sanomiya, and I was there for part of them, and they were incredibly peaceful from anything from our perspective.
No Molotov cocktails.
No. So, yeah, just my feeling was like, surely there's no violent protests. When I heard about the Nishinari protests, I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch the video, but I'm not going to see much. And I saw the one from 1991, I believe, and it was like a violent riot anywhere else in the world, or things are on fire, cars are being flipped over.
Yeah. And on police shield walls to protect the police from all kinds of things being thrown at them.
And it's a heavy day laborer area, which means like people line up hoping to get a part-time job for the day or maybe for the week, and it's kind of first come, first serve, and then it's not like people don't want to work there, they do. There's just not enough of these day laborer jobs to go around. And a lot of the riots, I think, are those day laborers versus the police or versus some group.
I can't imagine the old guard, you know, like the old dudes, like, getting involved. I mean, there's some...
I think things have to be pretty bad, right?
Yeah.
And they are.
The vets from the previous ones. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I know one of them, one of the more recent ones, was started at a restaurant again that, like, someone not from Nishinare came in, maybe someone more white collar, said something about the service at the place, and that was the spawn of one of the more recent riots. And it started off as a small little brawl in the restaurant, and then it carried out to the streets and went on for at least a day or two. Do you know anything else about the riots?
What I remember reading was it was there was also a connection to one of those summits, I guess, where all the world leaders are coming in together.
G7.
Was it G7 or G8?
G4.
What was it? They supposedly said that one of the day laborers was tortured by the police, and that caused the riot to be get even worse than it was.
Interesting. Sounds similar to things in the U.S. right now.
Yeah.
That's definitely fascinating. There's a lot, and I know.
We're gonna miss a lot. Well, there's a park that I ride by sometimes where they have this like this giant metal swing, and it's huge. It's like this huge metal swing in the middle of town, and it looks rusty and messed up and stuff. But there's always like 9 or 10 kids on that thing just swinging crazily back and forth. We didn't get to see it today, but my wife and I ride by that quite often, and we always crack up when we see it because it looks so dangerous.
I think we should kind of bring it home and talk about again, like, why you mentioned at the beginning that we talked about, like, if we're interested in this area and if we've gone there just to check it out, and initially none of us had, right? We all just came upon it on our own way.
Yes.
But I think one of the reasons I keep going back there, I want to research it and find out more. I was worried the first time Albert and I went on purpose just to go there. I didn't want to feel like I was, like, exploiting or getting entertainment from the misfortune of others.
Right,
it was something like after that night, really, as I was thinking about that red light district and everything I saw, I remember, like, I couldn't go to bed that night, and I was just really analyzing everything. And it took me a while to figure this out, but I think the reason why I'm interested in it and a lot of social issues of Japan is just because I had this obsession with Japan and knowing everything I could about Japan for a long time and telling how great Japan was to other people and almost evangelizing for Japan since I was a middle school kid. And I feel like if I don't know the real Japan, or there's these secret sides of Japan that people don't want to get out, and especially in English again, then I don't want to be advertising for something that I don't believe in or that I'm not standing for, you know? And I think a lot of these things, some of our future podcast episodes, but Nishinare in particular, aren't really good sides of Japan, and they shouldn't exist, and, you know, the government should help these people out more, perhaps. So I don't know. You don't want them to be like that. And I kind of want to figure out why before I can stand by a country and say I love a country and recommend it to people. I want to find out what their dirty secrets are, you know, and make sure they're not doing anything too bad. And I feel like Nishinare is a place where a lot of secrets to Japan are being held. It's a place where the criminals go and hide out, you know. So
That one dude, yeah.
Well, yeah.
He had plastic surgery done to his face and was hiding in
Nishinare. He's the one who killed the English teacher, right?
A female English teacher.
Yeah.
That was gruesome.
We didn't get into, but there's these really cheap hotels called Doya, D-O-I-A there, and they're about $5 to $10 a night. And you don't need any kind of ID card to check in there. And because of that, I think a lot of prostitutes use them and to do their job. And criminals go there. And also, like, young backpackers go there to stay. That's another pretty interesting aspect. But because of that, a lot of the biggest criminals, like the craziest criminals from Tokyo and Japan, will come out there to stay.
Yeah, they're under the radar.
Yeah. And to put that into perspective, I was looking up, an average hotel in Japan is $150 a night.
Whoa.
So okay. $5 to $10 compared to $150 just for a normal hotel. Tells you how extreme that is. Do you want to talk about maybe why you're so interested in the area, or why it's important to you?
The first time, and I forgot that it was like so close to Nishinare, but the that high school trip that I mentioned in the earlier podcast, where I was reading the handbook, and then that's when I discovered where my aunt worked, lived, is right next door to the largest Korean community in Japan. Mm. And also on that same trip, I read and learned about the Burakumin, the untouchables of Japan. And then it was at that point that I really wanted to see the place, and they specifically mentioned Shinsekai as being the headquarters or whatever, or well, one of the central areas of that. And I wanted to go there, and I also was very interested in the type of clothes that the workers, the day laborers, wear. With they look, when you look at it, it looks fancy. Like they look like polo jockeys or something like that. I mean, it's like baggy, and then it gets skinny at the below the knee. And I wanted one of those pantaloons or whatever they're called. And I went and got a pair. My cousin took me into Shinsekai, and at that time it was before the heyday. Now where things are looking a bit brighter for them in terms of tourism. I don't remember the area too well, but I do remember coming home back to LA with those baggy skinny pants.
Yeah. Did you wear them out?
I wore them maybe once or twice, but I couldn't figure out any other day on Halloween where I wouldn't really
stand out
in a strange way.
How about you, Matt? Anything you want to say about the area more?
It's fascinating to see how the area is changing. Like, if you go a little bit south towards Tennoji, you know, a lot of that, the older area has been leveled, and now they have mega malls and movie theaters. And
Abeno, is that how you pronounce the area?
Abeno, Abeno.
Has the tallest building in all of Japan now, there. Yeah.
And that's right up against the Hanazono-cho and the Shinsekai, and you see how like that area is transforming, and it makes me wonder about the future of Hanazono-cho, because what's gonna happen when there's a lot of old people there, and they're gonna start dying off, and you know, apartment buildings are going in all the time. I mean, we just walked by a big construction project that was going on, and while we were there. And so, I mean, it's only a matter of time before, you know, I think Hanazono-cho is going to be a bit of history, or very marginalized, you know, into a very small area. You know, it'll be interesting to see. It's a part of, I think, Osaka history. It's an important place.
Yeah, I mean, I think as long as Shinsekai is there, Shinsekai is kind of the bridge between, it's kind of a touristy still, right? When you look up...
Yeah.
Osaka, Shinsekai is always going to be one of the top places to go. And Shinsekai is kind of like the nicer downtown version of Nishinari, relatively. If you come from Namba, you know, or anywhere else, you're like, whoa, why is this place a tourist spot? It's pretty ghetto. But compared to Nishinari, Shinsekai is quite nice.
Yes.
And I think as long as Shinsekai is there, those people will have to live somewhere.
Even Shinsekai is like, I mean, they just built a big new Don Quixote, new, you know, pachinko parlor, multi-story pachinko parlor. Mm. I mean, things are, the old stuff is disappearing, you know, and I mean, one day I don't think it'll exist.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, I think those people need to live somewhere. There needs to be cheap housing available for them. Will they just go somewhere else? Will they go to Tsudahashi? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
I don't think you can just wipe it clean. And
where would you put them? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think this area was made for them. I think they've naturally gone there, which is actually
low rent. And
we read talking about the B word. Those people would be forced into living in kind of rougher areas by the government, because. Not necessarily the government, right? But just society, I guess.
Right.
There's nowhere else they're allowed to live because of their last name, their family name, is able to be researched back to these people, leather workers and this lower class. Whereas the people in Nishinari, we read, have chosen to live there, and they've moved there and gravitated towards there because it's cheap,
right.
Which is interesting. Anyway,
okay.
I think that's a wrap for Nishinari, Hanazono-cho. It's the song of the show, or you want to do
let's do the song of the show.
Alright, so our artist is named Shingo Nishinari, and he's got Nishinari in the name, and he's definitely one of the biggest modern rappers in Japan. It's quite popular. I don't like a lot of his stuff. I would say the song I'm picking is kind of the only song that I really, really like, but I'll have Albert talk about another song, and maybe we'll do a twofer for you and do two songs this episode. But this one's called Osaka Up. I don't remember how I came across it, but I think the music video is kind of the strong selling point.
Yes.
So I'll definitely put a link to that. But it's a very uplifting song. It's a very fun song. He names off a lot of neighborhoods in Osaka and talks about...
Yeah, the video has all the locales.
Kushikatsu and Don't Double Dip. And it's such Osaka pride things, you know.
Osaka Obasan.
Yeah, and it's like a good party song. And again, he's one of the more reputable mainstream rappers. He's definitely very hard. He's gangster. This song isn't, though. And Albert was saying the song he's going to talk about is kind of like indie rap sound. So why don't you talk about your song?
I discovered it last night while doing research for this podcast. And he does one that covers Tobita Shinchi, the red light district. And what was funny was the link that sent me there, it said that, oh, here's a documentary about the Tobita Shinchi area. And I was going, oh, that's interesting. Why does it say Shingo? And why is it on YouTube?
Documentary.
And,
yeah.
And it was, sure enough, it was one of his songs, and it starts off. I could pick out parts of it, like what he was saying. I couldn't understand all of it, but the parts that I understood were he's talking about walking through there when he was a kid. And then he starts listing off these names, and I was going, what's he talking about? Because it just sounded like a list, and he was rapping these names, but then each time he said a name, the little block letter sign would appear on the screen, and I went, oh, he's listing off every single brothel in that Tobita Shinchi area, and he goes one by one through all of them, and then he also mentions that you shouldn't take photos when you're there. It truly is a little
travel guide.
Like, travel guide, like how to act there and to respect that area. Yeah. Oh,
fascinating. Yeah.
Fascinating. Yeah. Well,
I look forward to hearing that one for the first time when we put it in the show. And I think that's a wrap. So social media shout outs.
Yeah. Find us everywhere at Japan 2.0. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Thanks to everybody that have been retweeting us and reposting, you know, some of our posts or liking our posts on Instagram.
Yeah, if you like music and you like the music we play on the show, that's the main place we highlight extra stuff that we don't put on the show on Instagram. You get to see a little bit of sights too if you want to see what the vinyl looks like, or sometimes we give a window shot out the window of where we are. On the blog, you'll see a couple articles. I put up one about a guy who took only Akira samples based off the 80s movie and made some like modern electronic music I was super into. The website's really interactive, so it's like an interactive comic with his music playing.
We're at WordPress, right?
Yeah, it's Japan 2.0 at WordPress. The link will be in the show notes if you check those out.
I always forget. Twitter, Blogspot,
Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. Any last words?
Osaka up.
Osaka up.
Osaka up. Yeah. Peace. We love この街 Who でも A でも Ho でもええけど No と思うなら叫んでくれ Say Who A Ho Who A Ho Who A Ho 大阪ダンス大阪ダンス見せてや見せてや大阪ダンス肩にはまらずもう止まらん根っからヒョウ柄大阪ダンス探そう大阪探そう上から呼んでも下から呼んでもみんなで言ったれ大阪探そうスネアキックハイハットマイハートいつもすまんなお気にありがとう自分の地元は自分で作るつまり気合や気合腹くくる空を握るほら拳になるその拳は明日の力になるその力はみんなを笑顔にするから笑顔つなげれば未来になる水の都は人も街も夢も味も音もみんなの人生をなワクワクドキドキさせたいねだからぼーっとじっとしてられないね喋りはマシンガンでエンドレスなおばちゃんとアメちゃんはセットですでも男も女も結局は女から生まれてきたんです大阪アップ大阪アップ誰が何と言おうと大阪アップ大阪アップ大阪アップ地元ラブやろ大阪アップ
Hey. Hey. Oremo. Okay. Ghetto. Ghetto. Hey. Hey. Shim. Go. Nish. Nani. Koto. Nani wa. Tobita Shinchi. Yokoso koko ga Tobita Shinchi. Shogakkou e no tsugakuro. Mainichi inu to no sanpo michi. Take-chan no ie no iku chikamichi. Hanakomatsu shoufuku ni tsubaki. Bizenchou an no mae ga yubi. Ai oi naruto iketeru seto. Tsubaki shukutsu Kazuki kachousai. Hajime Misato ehou ni wakao. Hato ko murasaki manriki e. Kureba ni gingetsu usagi ni rin. Koro wa kata ka tsuki no yoko ren. Mejika kawabe nodoka no maesho. Kado wa ozen to sarasa desu. Sora shinyuu ga kado ga anzu. Miki no mae wa jin yume tomaki. Happy dori hitotsu tonari. Togen hiaramu sou mae seki. Tokushima nishiki ogawa ippeki. Yae lucky kyara no yoko wa moe. Chieni to wa ryuko kado wa fuji. 100番の前が目印です。ハリマラ臭い角が湘南。いろは初音おすすめ田代。吉吉夜桜横林津。さつきにひな希望に散歩。吉原遥か角は予備校。桃か北条旬に三山。桜山水横は有馬。月当たり綾姫前一角。わらべ豆八本福広。新福広の横は顔を。慢性昇格横穴。角はやっぱり田代です。ようこそここが飛びた新地。小学校への通学路。毎日犬との散歩道。たけちゃんの家行く近道。昼から夜中12時まで。いらっしゃい、ここは土足禁止。ストップ、写真撮影禁止。すれ違う車譲り合い。ストーブとブランケットお決まり。犬か猫勝手撫でてる。なんでかぬいぐるみも多い。呼び込みのおばちゃん知り合い。ラッパーよりあるパンチライン。ライト眩しくてたまらない。ポーズがエロくてたまらない。エコが多くて選べない。勢いで決めんと決まらない。